Thank you, Russell. I was about to say I was nearly late. I was absolutely late. I was so pleased we had that rousing song to sing while I caught my breath at the mysteries of the Windsor Road and all the glorious developments that are going on here. They sort of, while they're doing the roadwork, they forget about the street signs. So I could see this building as I went past it. And anyway, here I am. Thank you for having me. Mine isn't to be a long address, so it won't be a long address. But I do congratulate Dominic and the other organisers of this conference for bringing it about. What our friends from Norway and other places will make some of our local references, heaven only knows, but revelation will come to you in due course. When I first had occasion to go to London on behalf of the ABC, which was about 8 years ago now, of course I made a pilgrimage to the BBC. I was there on business, but it's also the sort of heart of public broadcasting, or it was the origin of public broadcasting. And while I was waiting to see my counterpart, the then chairman of the BBC, in the lobby in Broadcast House in Portland Place, I noticed at the end of the lobby a very handsome marble plaque on the wall. And so I wandered down to look at it, and it was very simple in one respect, beautiful marble plaque with carved writing on it. Now, it was in Latin, so I had a go with my schoolboy Latin, which was only about 55 years out of date. Anyway, eventually, in gazing at it, I saw down below it at the side a translation of what was on this plaque. And I'm going to read it to you. It said, "This temple of the arts and the museum is dedicated to Almighty God by the first governors in the year of our Lord, 1931. And they pray that good seed sown may bring forth good harvest, that all things foul or hostile to peace may be banished hence, and the people inclining their ear to whatsoever things are lovely and honest, whatsoever things are of good report, may tread this path of virtue and of wisdom." Now, that building's being remodeled at the moment, and when I go back next to visit the BBC, I'll be interested to see if that plaque is still there. It won't surprise me if it's not, or if it's been moved to somewhere less prominent. Because the sad fact of the matter is, it would be unimaginable if somebody was building such a building today, as we did at Ultimo, that they would put up such a plaque. That's the sad truth of the fact that in 1931 it was considered perfectly natural, perfectly appropriate, possibly even necessary to make such a statement in public, and now it would be simply too much, an embarrassment, an awkwardness, a statement of some private belief, but not something that any corporation or group of people should hold to. In fact, when we were opening the extensions to Ultimo, I even raised with the then managing director my idea that we have something like this, and I didn't get very far. There, you being experts will have identified all sorts of biblical references to inspire the media. But of course, what we're all working in is something that was unimaginable in the time of Jesus. But there are all sorts of references. I mean, I actually thought about it during the week while I was also preparing for a board meeting, which I had all day yesterday. But there are, there's much in the Beatitudes. There's the, when Jesus immediately after the Beatitudes talks about salt and the light on the hill. we all have to be the beacons. There's the parable of the four soils. We're all working in that. You could go down a path of examining references to truth. Proverbs, Timothy 2:15, concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of, one who correctly handles the word of truth. Wouldn't be bad to have that on everybody's desk in the newsroom. But I think perhaps the text, this is partly because it was preached on at church a couple of weeks ago, the text that I thought was particularly relevant for those of us working in the media. And it's the great declaration at Caesarea Philippi, which is in Mark 8:27-30. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, and bearing in mind that that region was foreign, dangerous, hostile territory, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, it's the job of almost everybody in this room to tell other people what other people are saying about all sorts of things. But when we come to these matters of our Christian belief, the real question is, who do you say that I am? Jesus replied, as you all know, I'm reading things that you're very familiar with, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven, and whatever you open on earth will be opened in heaven." Words that have caused an immense amount of debate within the Christian church over the years. Then he sternly warned them not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And that's, as far as I can work out, the earliest example of a suppression order. So we're fighting a suppression order right now in the courts, but you see, there's a very early precedent for them. I'm not going to try and preach a sermon to you or lecture you in how to do your jobs. You wouldn't be here this weekend if you didn't have a pretty good idea how to do all that now. I do want to share to you, I quoted this in public once and I'm sure it was completely misunderstood, but I'm given to re-quoting myself on occasion, so I'll do it now. One of my absolute pin-up boys is, when it comes to writing, sadly I haven't met him, is Jonathan Sacks. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks is the chief rabbi of the British Commonwealth. He also happens to be the brother of Oliver Sacks, who's much beloved of the science show, which is having their 30th anniversary this weekend. And Rabbi Sacks, I first became aware of through his book, The Politics of Hope, which is an absolutely marvellous and inspirational work. And my copy of The Politics of Hope was given to me by John Battersby, the Catholic Archbishop of Brisbane. Now, I just loved the whole provenance of this. Here am I, brought up a Presbyterian, now an Anglican, given a book written by a rabbi, by a Catholic Archbishop of Brisbane. And it's a terrific book. But he's a prolific writer. And there was an article that he wrote that was published in something or other. All I've got is the photocopy of his section. The section is Broadcasting and Civil Society. And there's a whole article on television, narrative and conversation. And although his references are mostly to television, we would think outside of that square and think of the media generally. But at the end of this wonderful and quite challenging article, where he says he wants to see and hear programs that exemplify the concept of civilization as a conversation between people, he, in a sort of roundup, says, "What I miss and want to hear are the moral voices. I want to hear respectful dialogue on the fateful issues of the 21st century, the environment, globalization, the digital divide, the human genome, the future of the family and community, and what justice might mean in tomorrow's world. I want to see programs that exemplify the concept of civilization as conversation, that do not insult the intelligence, that give space to something larger than the clash of fixed positions or the staged fight of competitive aggressions. I want to hear interviewers and panelists who are not paid to be rude. I want to see programs and hear programs that exploit the full potential of the medium to convey spiritual drama and moral wisdom. I want to encounter narratives of hope, stories that lift our sights, dialogues that teach us to listen to views not our own, testimonies that respect our multiple traditions. I want to see broadcasting unafraid to claim the high ground of civil discourse and great ideals. I suspect in this I am not alone." Well, he isn't alone. And his call isn't a call for a good news network, not at all. But it is a call for grace and civilization, a civilization, notion of civilization that comes from a profound love of our fellow man and a love of God who tells us how we ought to behave to each other. Best wishes for your conference. Thank you.